It happens again and again. A child at death's door. Urgent prayer. The child dies anyway. Where was God? When prayer is not answered as we'd like, many simply give up and stop praying. We may question God's promises, His intentions, or even His character. If your prayers seem to bounce off the ceiling, you need to stay tuned for the next several weeks. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we begin a six-part series on the triumph of unanswered prayer. Now, Erwin Lutzer sets the stage with a look at what to do when the promises don't work.
Let me begin today by reading a letter from Kevin, who is a prisoner. He says, I am a prisoner trying to draw close to God, using all the resources I can to help me in my relationship with God. We have material from several preachers available to us here. A lot of the material has helped me to grow in my walk with God. But I am uneasy about some of what I read, particularly from those who teach about health and wealth. I received a monthly letter a few months ago, said that there was power in my confession. If I were to take authority over my situation and shout, I am rich, these blessings would come to me. I did this for several months, but I've not received any extra money. In fact, now the money from my commissary account doesn't make it on time. More recently, I began confessing that I walk in divine health, like their ministry instructs me to do. But I've discovered that my liver enzymes were off and other lab results were not encouraging. Since then, I've changed my praying and confessed that I'm only healed if God wants me to be. So I struggled with whether these ministries are of God or whether they are demonic. Then I thought that if God were to strike that ministry in judgment, then I would know it is wrong. Please give me your advice on this. I'm afraid of making false accusations about ministries that talk about Jesus and say they are anointed of God. I just know that their teaching doesn't work for me. Well, Kevin, it doesn't work for you, and it doesn't work for millions of others. You're right. It just doesn't work. We live at a time when we find that some of the TV teachers, those who are on television particularly, not all, but some, are teaching false doctrine. Ever since a man by the name of William Kenyon, who was basically into Christian Science, the Christian Science faith, ever since he tried to unite Christianity and Christian Science, you have today what is known as the Word of Faith movement. This Word of Faith movement believes that we can simply speak ourselves rich. I was watching television less than 2 weeks ago, and one of these preachers said, what you need to do is to say, I am a millionaire. And then he wasn't satisfied with that. He says, you need to proclaim, I am a billionaire. And you can speak things into existence that are not yet into existence. That is what is being taught. Throughout history, you find that the gods have always been manipulated by people in an attempt to get from them what we want. And never before has the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, been so manipulated by people to make sure that He gives them what they want no matter what. If you feel guilty, you don't need to deal with your sin. What you need to do is to have a good feeling of self-fulfillment. So we have the self-fulfillment gospel. If you need money, you don't have to budget carefully and work hard. What you need is a health and wealth gospel. And certainly if you are sick, you can simply command that you be healed. And according to one ministry, you can do that. And you can do it successfully as often as you need to. No need to deal with issues of sin and reconciliation and repentance. God is there to meet all of your needs as they exist. You can speak to your wallet and say, be thou filled. And the wallet is going to be filled. And it is filled with air. Why is it that these TV ministries, they drag in scripture, of course, and we're going to be dealing with that in successive messages. But let me give you three principles that they use that are false. First of all, they make no distinction of significance between Old Testament promises and New Testament promises. This takes a longer time to discuss, but in the Old Testament, God dealt with Israel as a theocratic kingdom. That is to say that it was a theocracy, and God says, I'm going to bless you or curse you based on the land. If you follow me, I'm going to give you riches, I'm going to give you good crops. If you don't follow me, I'm going to send you drought and grasshoppers. You find that throughout the book of Deuteronomy and elsewhere. Today, God doesn't deal with us that way. That was Israel as a nation in the land. That's why you don't find promises like that in the New Testament. We must distinguish between the Old Testament and the New. Second, many of these preachers fail to, or they totally ignore, some of the conditions that are necessary for answered prayer. And it does seem as if some of the statements that Jesus made were blank checks where we could simply fill in whatever we want. But a closer examination shows that actually there are some conditions. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will. But all of this oftentimes is ignored. There are blessings available for everyone, regardless of what they believe, regardless of who they are. They can speak things into existence. Finally, many of these ministries fail to understand that our authority as believers is a relative authority. It is a limited authority. We don't have the same authority as Jesus. We are in Jesus, but we are not Jesus. We cannot speak to storms and hurricanes. We cannot speak to them like Jesus spoke to the raging sea on Galilee. Many years ago, there were some of these folks who met in Washington, D.C., and they met to ban Satan from Washington, D.C., to send him packing and to make sure that he would not enter the city of Washington, D.C. again. Wow, isn't that interesting? What do you think? Do you think that God answered their prayer? Or isn't there some empirical evidence that maybe their prayer hasn't been answered? My dear friend, if we could do that, we'd banish him from the whole planet. If you ask why God has Satan in Washington, D.C., the answer is because the Lord hath need of him. The Lord hath need of him. God uses Satan for his own purposes. But we don't have that kind of authority. We have authority over the devil. That's true, I believe, even in casting out demons. But our authority is totally derived. It is not unlimited. We cannot speak things into existence. I was looking at a website yesterday where one of these men has written a book, Imitating God, where we can speak things into existence and we can have unlimited authority. No, we can't. This series of messages is entitled The Triumph of Unanswered Prayer. The Triumph of Unanswered Prayer. Normally we say, well, there's no triumph in unanswered prayer. There's only triumph when God answers. Oh, yes, you're wrong this time. You're wrong. We will show that God, through unanswered prayer, has an agenda that might ultimately even be greater than his agenda through answered prayer. Another way that we could describe this series is to say that we must live with unfulfilled promises. Nothing wrong with the promises, but we need to know whether those promises are for today. We see parts of them for today, but the fulfillment of them lies in the future. Who is this series of messages for? This series of messages is for anyone who asked and didn't receive. It's for anyone who has anger toward God. Anger toward God because you know that God could intervene, you know that God could heal that person, and he didn't. And in your soul, you have anger toward the Almighty. This message, this series of messages is for you. It's for those of you who found prayer to be boring and irrelevant, those who would never attend a prayer meeting under almost any condition because they believe essentially that prayer changes nothing. It's for those who want to get closer to God, but it seems so impossible and you're so discouraged that you don't know how to do it. Before this series is over, I'm going to give you a whole new paradigm as to how to pray. A paradigm that will lead to fulfillment in your own individual prayer life, whether you get the specific answers that you seek or not. We're going to find that God has an agenda that transcends many of the things that we often ask Him for. Hebrews chapter 10 is the text for today. I hope you brought your Bibles. If not, you can use the Bible there that is in your seats. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, we're talking about people who believed on Jesus, and they are going through a time of great testing, and there's no doubt that they are praying that they be delivered from the test, but there is no deliverance. We're going to look at this passage of Scripture very simply. We're going to see the challenge that they faced, the suffering that they faced. Then what we're going to do is to see their attitude in the midst of it and the reward. And then we're going to apply it to our lives and we're going to be changed because we've heard God's word. Notice it says, I'm in verse 32 of Hebrews chapter 10. But recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. Sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, sometimes being partners with those so treated, for you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves have a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you've done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. First of all, what is it that they were enduring? What was their challenge? Well, it was severe suffering because of Jesus. They were not only being marginalized, you'll notice it says it was sometimes public. Verse 33, being publicly exposed to reproach. Reminds me of when the communists took over China, how pastors actually were paraded down the streets with all kinds of things strewn across their bodies, including Bibles that had been torn in two. They were humiliated and they were publicly exposed and publicly shown to be people who were to be reproached. That's something like we have going on here in the text.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and we think we have it bad today. Oh, my friend, the early church endured the kind of suffering that you and I have never seen. So as we begin to think of darkness closing in on us, and we begin to think of laws that make the preaching of the gospel either difficult or even illegal, let's remind ourselves that the early believers have been there before us, in circumstances that are far worse. And they, God bless them, were faithful. Well, I hope that we'll be faithful. Keep listening, and I'll see you next time.
That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part one of When the Promises Don't Work, the first message in a six-part series on the triumph of unanswered prayer. Tomorrow, tune in for more on the purpose of suffering. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. To help you work through some tough issues, this series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the triumph of unanswered prayer. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.